Hello, and welcome to the Astro City Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting Kurt Busiek's Astro City series. In this Astro City Spotlight, I'm joined by James. We're going to be discussing Astro City, The Dark Age, Book 4, Vengeance is Mine, number 1 through 4 from 2010. James, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, John?
I am doing all right. Now, I gotta say, as I was reading Book 4, I was recalling very, very, very little of it from having read it back in 2010.
Oh, see, you'd kind of pushed it out of your mind.
I felt it was forgettable.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I can't think of anything here that is, oh, yeah, I remember that. And I've got to say that this time, some of the storytelling just didn't feel as clear as usual.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that for me was in the first two issues of the four here. But, like, the reintroduction of this Dr. Norton Gans in the book.
Yeah.
We're seeing this old guy. I'm like, who the hell is this? What's going on over here? I finally had to go back because they had mentioned his name a page or two earlier, so the clues were there. But that was on top of when we started and we've got one of the brothers going into an engine base, which is their equivalent of AIM, I guess.
Yeah, it was definitely AIM.
I'm like, what is Charles doing here? And it wasn't until at the end of the little scene there that he calls for Charles, and I realize that's Royal.
Okay, you weren't the only one, because I was like, these were not identical twin brothers.
No!
And I thought that was Charles the entire time, and then he calls him, and I was like, oh, and I felt confused. And then literally you get this, when you see them together wearing the weird suits,
mm-hmm.
They made them look like identical twins at this point.
Prior to this, Royal was a bit scrawnier.
Yeah.
Kind of hunched over a little. And Charles was kind of the beefier one. And
yes.
It's 2 years later. It's 1984. We'd last seen him in 1982. Royal had been getting the training and stuff. But between the identical outfits and the matching physiques, I was struggling to tell the brothers apart this entire book.
Me too. And that was the first thing. I was reading it, and the entire time I was Charles. And he's like, hey, Charles. I was like, what? Why is he calling himself? And I was like, oh. Then I see him together. And through the whole thing, I'm just like, why did they change this to make it so confusing that you can't tell them apart? And that was just one of the many things that I was just like, it was a confusing read, because when you can't tell the characters apart, that's just weird, you know, because it was never like that.
And I don't know how much of that was the script, how much of that was Brent Anderson on the art. I've got to imagine Brent was doing what, I don't say what he was told, because I mean, he was a huge contributor to the story here. I don't want to downplay that, but I don't think he would have made the two brothers look interchangeable without specific direction from Kurt.
Correct, because he had drawn the characters before. He knew they were different. And there was a purposeful thing where they went in here and for whatever reason said, we're going to make these two almost identical twins.
Yeah.
And it's never explained why. I guess Royal's malnourished before.
I guess.
It just was weird because I don't look identical to my brothers. And if we started working together, we wouldn't magically be identical twins. So I just can't figure it out.
And I get a four-year age difference becomes less of a big deal as the characters age.
Yeah, but everything went the same here. Everything.
Yeah. And if it was just I didn't recognize that doctor when he was introduced, I couldn't tell the brothers apart, that'd be one thing. But like in the second issue, when we first cut to the brothers, there's like the ceiling collapsing on them. And I'm like, what is going on here? Because they didn't reset the scene. Oh, yeah, they're in a pyramid base. They're underground in Vegas here. There's this fight going on above them. That's what's causing the thing to collapse.
Exactly. I felt off kilter at several points in this story. And it was weird because I felt like this should have been the final arc to kind of start wrapping things up. And yet I went into it with like complete confusion. And at that point, my mind was wandering as I was reading it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I start mentally checking out. I'm like, I'm confused. What's going on? That's how I was feeling. I mean, I could make sense of it, of course. You have that. This isn't enjoyable. I'm having to do some homework now.
Well, there's making sense of it and having clarity of it.
Yes, exactly.
Because like when the brothers shot the controls something happened to the Dynamoids, something happened to Aubrey Jason, and I'm like, okay, I get something happened. I'm following that. I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, it was the same way. I don't know what happened, but something for sure happened. It was very bizarre. It was very, very, very bizarre. And then in the second issue, was that totally supposed to be basically like his whole homage to the Crisis on Infinite Earths going on?
No, because I took the Crisis stuff as being the whole bit with the one half issue and the guy who forgot his wife.
Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
If for anything, sure. There's basically the whole bit with the Silver Agent and the Centurions and stuff, and he's going back in time to fix stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't take that to be an event level sort of a thing.
Okay. I didn't know what he was going for there. I was trying to figure it out. It's like, is he trying to make this like a crisis type thing that's going on, going back in time? I'm thinking 2,200 years in the future. Is this like the Legion, you know? And then he literally picked 1984. That's when Crisis happened. So I started overthinking, trying to make sense of this.
Well, Crisis was actually 85 to 86.
Oh, 85. Okay.
And it was the year 2200, maybe. Because again, this is being narrated by the brothers, and that becomes crystal clear at the epilogue.
Okay.
So I think this was just explaining, finally, how the Silver Agent was doing kind of his thing. And I think it was taking, again, that character's a Captain America-inspired character.
Yeah.
And taking the man out of time very literally in this case.
Eh, that makes sense. Yeah, that works.
And it totally fits the character, or the archetype, I should say.
It really does.
So, and I mean, I love that aspect about Astro City, where over the course of what we've had here, we've gotten different characters in Astro City that are clearly evocative of different aspects of either the Fantastic Four, or in this case, Captain America, or some of the other characters, and just showing that it's not just the obvious, oh, I'm going to do a Captain America riff, therefore he must be patriotic. Well, the Silver Agent's not particularly patriotic and certainly doesn't look that way. If anything, he almost looks like the Guardian over at DC. But the way he's treated with his leadership ability, his moral compass, the conversation he has at one point in this book of doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because it's easy.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
It's very much Captain America in that regard.
No, very true. The other thing that was interesting to me about this whole series, and especially in this issue, I felt like, and we talked about this when we reviewed book 3 a little bit, he went too deep with the characters that he slung out there, and we were still getting new characters in this book. Like, I think the Pale Horseman, this is the first time we saw him.
Yep.
And others. There's others in here.
I actually started to make a list of things that were introduced.
Yeah, there were so many. I was like, oh my God.
I think there was about 18, because Injun, which is a group, Green Man,
yep.
Nostradamian, the Bad Dreamer,
yep.
Glue, which is like a bizarre clone of Jack in a Box.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
Quark, the Dynamoids, Omnix and the Silver Centurions, Stone Cold, Rat Patrol, Robber Barons, Blue Knights, plural, Pale Rider, which is again another Ghost Rider inspired by.
Another one, yeah.
Hollow Point, Safecrackers, Broadsword, Owl, Mr. Toad, and Lord Sovereign, who's technically not new, but is a new identity for an existing character.
Yeah, it was just bizarre that you're getting 18 characters plus all these other characters that have been introduced in this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so lightly touched on. I know maybe he, in his mind, Kurt Busiek and Brent Anderson, they were thinking, oh, we'll flesh this world out, and these are other characters we can tell stories about, and this is kind of like their little origin, you know, or their first appearance. But they never revisit this stuff in the third volume, to my memory, to my knowledge. I don't remember ever seeing these characters again.
No, these were all new.
Yeah, no, I mean, in the future.
Oh, in the future. Oh, third volume. Not the third book. Sorry, I confused it.
Yeah, I can't remember right now, but I don't recollect seeing these characters. And then it's like, what was the point of the exercise and why the confusion and just scattershot?
I think his approach of introducing all these characters, the way he's been doing it through the entire run, not just of Dark Age, but the entire Astro City franchise, is a smart move because it makes it feel like a shared universe over at Marvel and DC.
It does feel shared, yes.
And there are going to be times where, okay, we get the Safecrackers, we get a mention of them and the Robber Barons, And they were incidental things here.
Yeah.
May never get mentioned again. And that's fine. We don't have to have them. But it gives the feeling that this isn't a single issue a month. And that's optimistic. But a single title. It's a full universe.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
That makes sense. And yet at the same time, as we're reading it, I started scribbling down things. I got to know this guy. I don't really have to know them. But I was thinking, I might need to know this later on, so I would put down a note or something like that. And now I'm thinking, I don't really remember these characters. Why was I keeping notes on this stuff? So that was just me. I was getting a little bit frustrated with almost having a Legion-level smattering of characters coming out of the woodwork. And who do I really need to know? And then ultimately, I came to the conclusion, I don't really need to know anyone. It's just characters in this world.
Well, the characters you need to know need to be introduced in the story or reminded of you in the story as it goes.
Yeah.
If it's anything more than that, it's a bad story.
Yes.
But like at the beginning of issue 4, we've got these three criminals, Otter, Owl, and Mr. Toad.
Oh, yeah. I remember them.
Now, two of them are brand new.
Yep.
Otter, however, was seen back in Kurt Busiek's Astro City, the 1996 run, number 1. And we covered that way back in Astro City Spotlight, number 2.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
Now, does it matter that one of these guys has been seen before and the other two haven't? No.
Not really, yeah.
You know, and some of this other stuff, like we get a passing mention of Broadsword. Maybe we see him again, maybe we don't. But if you were to start taking those things out, it becomes a much shallower universe, a much less realized universe.
That's true. It would feel more like a, and this is not meant in an insulting way, like a Mark Miller book, because he tends to focus on most of his things, a character group or a character set, and none of that stuff crosses over until he did Big Game. But it's just, okay, this is the nightclub. Okay, this is Jupiter's legacy. And that's all you see. And so, yeah, it's very different. It's a very different thing.
Exactly. That's why I consider what he's done over there impressive, definitely.
Yeah.
But he's stitched together a universe, whereas Kurt Busiek has been fleshing out a universe.
Yes, correct, correct, correct. And what's weird is sometimes I find that a little bit frustrating because I want to know what I'm reading.
Yeah.
And that's just a me thing. You know, I'm like, well, who is it? Why are they there? And then, you know, it just suddenly clicks. You know, it doesn't really matter. It's just, Super Guy. Just say Super Guy 1, 2, and 3. And if they really matter, he will tell me who the hell they are.
Yeah, but it does bother me at times. Like when we see those three, there was a mention of them going after an FBU warehouse.
Yes.
I don't know what the hell FBU stands for.
Me neither. I was clueless. I was like, did I miss something? And maybe that comes up. I don't know. I just don't know.
And I'm sure if I were to go to the website that's got all the information on Astro City, I could probably go dig it up if I needed to. But it doesn't matter to the story. It's a warehouse.
Exactly. Warehouse, it's involved in something. If it's a drug deal or something like that, he'll tell us at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And generally, Kurt Busiek does a really good job telling us what we need to know as we need to know it.
That's true. He does a fantastic job of that.
I just think there were a few parts in this book where the storytelling was unclear, as we've talked about, and a few other things that just kind of happen.
Yeah, I agree.
And we've had 16 issues of this when it's all said and done. And we had that 8-page prelude story. So, I mean, there's a lot of this story to be had here.
A ton.
Did it land the ending for you?
No, it didn't. And it got a little bit wonky for me. Because at one point I thought he was trying to put himself into the story. It wasn't him. It wasn't Kurt Busiek, but I was almost reading Kurt Busiek sitting down with Royal.
Oh, in the epilogue with the
and
reporter?
Charles. Yeah. I was just like, is that what's going on here?
Well, it's funny because there were a number of places we get some definite references to past stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when we got the guy who was the Black Badge, who way back in that Astro City Aerosmith thing, I had mistakenly thought was their father.
Yeah.
Wasn't. It was K.O. Carlson.
Ah.
We had seen at the beginning, he was the one who owned the bar that the kid worked at, who became the altar boy, who became later the confessor.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense.
But again, as we're getting some of this stuff now, the fact that we had the Black Badge is a callback of about 6 years to that Astro City Aerosmith special.
Yeah.
And then calling back to the whole confessor storyline, man, that goes back to, I want to say, 1997?
A long time ago.
So 13 years earlier?
Yeah, and if you're reading that as they came out, you're not going to remember that, honestly.
Yeah.
We're remembering because we're reading them pretty quickly, relatively quickly. But on the ending, the things that I did not like or that didn't work for me was the whole getting the comeuppance with their parents' killer and all that. I don't think I cared for the way how that played out. Did you like it?
The fact that this power was coming from another place, they shut the door and poof, they vanish?
That was weird.
It wasn't overly satisfying.
Nope.
The brothers essentially making peace with the Silver Agent and him being none the wiser, I think. Did he recognize them as the kids? He probably hadn't even seen the kids, so he probably couldn't have recognized them.
Exactly. He's a time traveler, but is oblivious to who these two are, which was a little bit weird, but yeah, it seemed like he didn't know who they were.
Yeah. So the end page or two where we get the happy wrap-up and stuff, complete with the thumbs up from K.O. Carlson.
Yeah.
It fell flat for me. We've got Quirrell in there and stuff, and there's more to her story than we know at this point. So I was a little unimpressed with that. And then when we get to the epilogue, that reporter,
yeah,
we had seen him back in issue 2 of the original miniseries for Astro City.
He looked familiar. I was like, where do I know this guy from?
Remember the reporter?
Yeah. Now
that's
that you
him.
Say it, I did. Ah. And so here he is doing the reporting, talking with them on a fishing boat, basically. And David had that weird 84, I can't remember when the shuttle thing that happened, and a little twist on that to make things really like a happy ending. But it was bizarre at the same time. It was cool and superheroic, and it was weird. I just didn't know how to take it.
Well, I think part of what Kurt Busiek was trying to do here, and it became more clear with the epilogue, was an exploration of the Bronze Age and how things got grimmer, grittier, and stuff like that. But then we kind of come out of that in the mid-80s. And what he has here mirrors kind of a fundamental shift post-crisis and stuff at DC, where we've got new origins of some characters, a happier period of DC. And so I get what he was doing.
Things do look brighter, yes.
But to have the Dark Age as an era in their timeline kind of is weird.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it makes sense, but I don't know. The whole epilogue rubbed me a little wrong when we realize we've been getting the story narrated. We've been essentially sitting in the reporter's position hearing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then we realize that the Williams brothers are not the Williams brothers. We don't really know who they are. I mean, we see who they are. We've been seeing them the whole book. We just don't know their names.
Exactly. Hey, how do you like this name? Which then you're like completely weirded out with Royal. That's a weird name. Charles, that's bizarre. And this kind of like, for me, was a bad take on how The Walking Dead ended, you know, where they're reading from a book.
Mm.
And this is not that, but it's similar to. And I'm just like, it just left me feeling, now I really don't know who these guys are. I mean, I know this story. I literally don't know who the hell they are.
Yeah, but we knew because they were narrating, they were going to survive the events of the four books.
Yeah. And do you like how they're not identical at the end?
Yeah, like they got over that.
All of a sudden, one got a little bit bigger, one got a little thinner. I'm like, wait a minute, and their faces don't look the same.
Yeah.
Huh, how'd that happen?
Well, again, they aged.
Yeah.
I mean, book four wasn't bad. I think it was the weakest of the four books.
Yeah.
The Dark Age has its moments, has some really cool characters, and some stuff, some of which is on the surface, some of which is almost a little below the surface. Like, we find out what happened to Simon Magus.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It just kind of in passing. But again, 400 pages out of less than 2,800 pages of all of Astro City, this was a big chunk.
It's a big chunk, and we talked a lot about opportunity cost. So they dedicated years and years, this creative team, to develop this storyline and to really focus on, I don't want to say focus on, but it's kind of the focal point or the tent pegs are these two. And I know going forward, we don't really see them again. And it was an okay way to show a dark time. It was an okay way to show the bright coming out. We saw a smattering of characters that we probably won't see again. And it was okay. I just feel like that 1-2 issue rhythm that they had going is the sweet spot. It is so quintessential of the old-timey comic, which I know this is like an ode to, hey, superheroes the way they are meant to be told, but from a different angle, not really making superheroes the thing, but being around them, but that I could pick up any issue and it makes sense. I feel like when you get to the Dark Ages, I could not pick up issue 3 of this book 4 of the Dark Ages. I would be completely lost. What's going on here? This doesn't make sense. And that's the damning part of the Dark Ages. He changed the formula.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that was a swing and a miss. And more power to him. They wanted to do this, but I feel like they broke the magic with this, with these 4 books.
I wouldn't say they broke the magic, but they certainly weren't tapping into it.
Yeah, not tapping into what made Astro City special.
Because even with the Steeljack stuff, and that went for 7 issues in a row, there were side stories that still made it feel enough like the, oh, we've got an issue on this guy, an issue on that guy, and stuff like that. So if this had been maybe the reporter interviewing people and getting all of these different stories of, here's what happened with the Apollo 11, here's what the First Family was up to, here's what was going on with Black Velvet or Hellhound or whomever, that might have worked, because you still could have had the reporter kind of trying to piece everything together, giving us that context and that continuity, but then also the focus each issue would be on different characters.
Yeah, and that would have been a really cool read, I think. And it would have been more of what we've seen prior. And I'm not saying it'd be repetitive at all, but more akin to what we have seen and felt more Astro City-like. And so this felt so different than what I've read before, while all at the same time, while there was some really good parts in here, there was things that I did enjoy in the Dark Ages, but I'm happy it's over.
Yeah, same here. It wasn't horrible or anything, but it comes down to that opportunity cost. It was blocking us from getting other stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of funny. We both felt that way. And I'm happy we read it together because I'd never read this before. I'd picked up a little hardcover. It's sometime a reprint, and I never cracked it to read it. So this motivated me to read a book I purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I have it in the Metro books too. But this is still, I think if you're a fan of Astro City, you should still read it.
Yes.
Yeah, you should read it, even though it's not the best Astro City. It's good.
It's good, and there's a lot of backstory that's relevant to other stuff.
Yeah.
With the First Family, with certainly the Silver Agent, with the Honor Guard. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that, yeah, happens here and we probably never reference again. But a couple of the characters that are being set up here in their early years are key players in later stories later, focused characters later.
Yeah.
So I definitely think nobody should skip over this, but I also think nobody should start with this either.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you start with this, I feel like you wouldn't get that introduction to what is really, really enjoyable with the short story of picking up any issue and just enjoying it for that issue. I don't think that can be had here. While you have to read it almost in 4 issue chunks and start at book 1. Even starting with book 4, I think you might be a little bit lost.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you'd be like, who is Street Angel? Why should I care? What are they referencing? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Why do these 2 characters look identical?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Who are these guys and why are they so mad with this one guy?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, this was like a cool little exercise, but, and like we've said, there's fun stuff to be had here. It's just not the best of Astro City.
Yeah. Well, what we're going to do next is we're going to bounce a little back to the stories that came out between the books. So next episode of the Astro City Spotlight, we'll go into the Samaritan special and then the Beauty issue, both of which are 40 pages.
Oh, big ones. Okay.
So double size, which is why we're only going to do the 2. And again, the Samaritan one came out between books 1 and 2, Beauty between 2 and 3. And then in Astro City Spotlight number 16, we'll go into Astro City Astra 1 and 2, those are just 24-page ones, and then also the Astro City Silver Agent 1 and 2, and we'll get those 4 issues. And I'm obviously suspecting Silver Agent, since he was such a focal point of the Dark Age, that may also serve as another epilogue to this. I just don't know. It may be a prequel. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Because I haven't read these things since they came out.
That's like me. I purchased a lot of Astro City, but I read it once. I haven't gone back to them. So rereading it, sometimes it's so far, I'm like, I'll remember a few things, but I don't remember all of it. So it's a little bit new again.
Well, in some cases, I remember a few things. In other cases, I remember next to nothing.
Yeah, that happens too.
Like the bit with the boat at the end here, it's like, oh, okay. 15 years. I can forget a lot in that time.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, something I don't think we've ever talked about, but I just wanted to mention, because you showed it to me. It was funny. We've been recording these Astro City spotlights and the Warlord spotlights. But if you go to the comic book page website and you go to Other, the little Other tab when you're there, there's a link for the Astro City reading list. And so people who are reading along will know what the heck we're going to read next, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I've put the reading list together for the Legion spotlight, the Astro City spotlight, and the Warlord spotlight.
Yeah, and it makes it really nice because I know, not only do I know what we're going to be recording on, but people can literally read along. And I like doing that because I told you I was reading those Judge Dredd case files. And like there was a podcast a long time ago that was reading the Judge Dredd case files. And I would literally listen to the podcast as I read the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gave it a little more depth and it's more fun.
I format the reading list a little differently for each of the different titles because with the Legion, it's bouncing between so many different titles over so many different decades. With Kurt Busiek, it's like, okay, it's one title at a time usually. So kind of putting those together. But also with Astro City, because of the length of the stories, the way it got collected from the issues to the trades to the Metro book can be a little confusing.
Yeah.
So I've got what trade they're in and what Metro book they're in. And I've got what episode we'll probably be doing stuff in, because this should run 30 episodes of the Astro City Spotlight, and we're almost halfway done.
Yeah. And by the way, I just wanted to say thank you for putting that list together, because it's kind of nice to look at. And you even have the links to the episodes, so you can see what was on there and click it and listen. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Once the episodes go live and I've regenerated the thing, so it's another reason I need to update the thing, because it's probably behind.
That's okay.
But it at least tells you what episode they're in.
Exactly.
So yeah, if you guys listening have questions and stuff, we've got also a thread on the forum for questions on the Astro City Spotlight. I'm hoping people are enjoying the series and reading along with it, because I think it's great stuff, and I'm really glad they've been releasing those Metro books and getting the material back out there.
Yeah, I've been having fun with it. I think in the latest solicits, I don't know if you looked at them yet, but Ezra...
I did. Metro Book 6 is in the latest previews.
Yeah, it's in there, so I'll probably be doing a clip on that. And still waiting for that big book that got solicited years ago and we have never seen as orderable.
The omnibus or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see if it happens.
And then at the end of the ongoing third volume, there was talk of an Astro City Enforcer graphic novel or longer story or something. We'd gotten the tease of that was then special. So Metro Book 6 ends with the end of the third volume. So we've pretty much, when that comes out, we'll have caught up with almost all the material that's ever been published. I'm hoping that means Kurt Busiek and company are back at work and producing.
I would hope.
Because I'd love to do more than 30 episodes of this, but we need more content.
Yep, we'll be running out, moving on to something bigger and better. I don't want to say that, but something different.
Yeah, something else. And again, I would love to see a few other creators, Mark Waid being chief among them, doing their own kind of solo shared universe.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've been enjoying stuff that I've been reading, but most writers write in silos. Like I told you, I've been enjoying Geoff Johns and his Ghost Machine stuff, but each one of those books, you know, like whether it's Rook or it's whichever one, but they're in their own world. You only read about Rook. You're not reading about the other characters and the other things going on, like Redcoat, something like that.
Redcoat, Geiger, or some of the others, yeah.
Geiger, yeah, there's a whole slew of them. And then same thing with Mark Miller. If he didn't do that big game, every one of those books, like if you're reading about Nightclub, they don't interact with each other. They never bump into each other. So,
or Chrononauts, or Jupiter's Legacy, or half a dozen of the other ones, yeah.
Yeah, most of the shared universes we've seen created falter by the wayside, which is sad.
And we've seen tons of them over the years, absolutely. But Marvel and DC are the main ones that stick around. But what I love about Astro City is it's got the, I'm not even sure what the right word would be, pretense isn't the right thing, but it's got the conceit of acting like a shared universe, even though Kurt Busiek is the only one contributing.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like this is a title out of a publishing line, and it's just, it happens to be our only window into this universe, but it feels like it's been fleshed out by other titles behind the scenes. And again, I'd love to see a couple of other creators that have that kind of depth of experience and knowledge on Marvel and DC and other shared universes, take a stab at it.
I would too. I would like to see it. And hopefully we see more stuff like this. But if we just get Astro City and they start producing it again, I would be very happy.
Yeah. Well, and again, we're only two more episodes of content before we get to number 17 of Astro City Spotlight, where we get into that third volume.
Yeah. And I remember listening to you. I don't think I was your co-host then.
No, not at that point.
Doing it. And I was like, oh, yeah, it piqued my interest. And I started reading volume 3. And so that's the stuff where I'm like, I'm going to see how much I really remember of the Astro City that I read back then.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to getting into volume 3 when we get there.
Me too.
Anything else?
No, that does it for me.
Cool.
Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. The deadline is typically the second Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. Check the main page of the website for more information and the exact deadline for the next preview spotlight.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.